Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crute's getting set up. He is up north. I don't know if you know the storyline, but he's going to be, you know, calling some football games this evening. So he's up there getting set up. I am going to get us going. Our good friend, James Santel, going to join us at 5 o'clock, airing the grievances. It's been a long week, folks. It's been a very productive week for law and order in this country. And, of course, we have some local news I want to get to as well. Let's start out with the man of the hour, Tim Michaels. And Evan, I'm going to give you a heads up. I text you over a tweet.
Yeah, I got you.
If you can work on that sound while I address this one, because it's going to be everything you expect with Tim Michaels. Sophia Voigt reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After the latest Marquette University Law School poll showed Republican gubernatorial candidate trailing Governor Tony Evers by 2 percentage points, Michaels claimed without evidence, it's because there's a class of people out there that does not talk to pollsters. Wisconsin Wednesday's Marquette poll showed support for Evers at 45%. Michaels was at 43%. And independent Joan Beglinger was at 7%. During a campaign stop at the Brown County Republican Party office on Thursday, Michaels said he believed he was actually up in the polls. Oh, he's up. He's down, but he's up.
I'm one of those guys that doesn't even take them. I don't know what the numbers look like. I don't see the emails. They're not sending them to
me. So you don't, if they reach out, you're a non-responsive. You won't even take the call. You won't have the conversation.
I've never noticed that I've gotten one, let's say. I feel like I have to have by now.
We have some friends that have produced us in the past in the radio industry would say that they'll take the calls and then lie to the pollsters just to prove a point. So maybe there is some of that. Is it enough, though, to move a poll? I don't know. Here's what Michaels had to say to a crowd of GOP party members. If the polls say we're dead even right now, I believe in my heart that we are up at least 5 to 10 percentage points. 10, 20, 30 percentage points. I mean, why stop at 5 to 10 when you're down by 2? And I would also, you know, note, this is within the margin of error of 4.1 or 4.2. So you're kind of okay. You know, you're still a dead even. But, and again, this is kind of, I think, the what we see happening from the Republicans across the country. If they see a result they don't like, and granted, polling is polling, take it for what it's worth, but if it's being a poll, if it's an election and they lose, well, there's very problematic. If it's a poll and they're behind, well, it's very problematic. Michael's claims echo his GOP primary candidate, Tim Ramjam, who claimed without evidence that his name was intentionally left off of Marquette's law school poll in June that showed him with only 3% support. That claim was quickly refuted by our most recent guest, poll director Charles Franklin, who said Ramjam was included in February, April, and June polls, where he polled 5, 4, and 3%. I have no idea where this is coming from, Franklin told the Journal Sentinel in a July interview. It's pretty well documented. We have asked about him. People have indeed chosen him and supported him. Just not very many. Again, he's referring to Ramjam. So Michael's behind in the polls, but, you know, again, within the margin of error. So what are you getting all worked up about? But that is neither here nor there, because that's just all, you know, fun and games before the actual election. What matters? Well, of course, policy matters, right? Roe versus Wade matters. And if you think that perhaps, you know, Republicans would do something to change this law that went into effect in the state of Wisconsin, you know, regulating what women can do with their own bodies prior to a woman even having the right to vote in this country. Republicans, yeah, let's go back to those good old days. Dan Schaefer did a retweet of a Channel 12 ABC interview, and I would like to play this for you. This is Tim Michaels being asked about his thoughts on exceptions for rape and incest on Wisconsin's abortion laws. Let's hear it, if you would please, Evan.
Yes.
As early as in a couple of weeks, abortion could be handed back to states for control in Wisconsin. It would be the 1849 law. Would you sign any legislation? Some Republicans, Speaker Voss, has said he would support adding exceptions for rape and incest. Would you sign that into law?
So I'm pro-life. It comes from my faith, and I believe that we have to protect the unborn. And there's two victims in my book. There's two victims when you have an abortion. There's the unborn baby. And then there's the mother, the recent mother, that's going to have to carry that emotional baggage the rest of her life. And science has proven that that's the case. The 1849 law is an exact mirror of my position, and my position is an exact mirror of the 1849 law as well, which has an exception for life of the mother.
But you wouldn't support exceptions for rape or incest?
That's correct.
Damn.
The 1849 law, with no exception for rape or incest, is an exact mirror of his position. Tim Michaels, an exact mirror. And what like 80%, 80-some percent of Wisconsinites disagree with that stance? Are you kidding me? According to this,
yeah.
88% was tweeted that Wisconsin voters support those exceptions. We just had Charles Franklin on recently, briefly talked about the abortion. I mean, this is the GOP, the MAGA's candidate for governor here in the state of Wisconsin, and he is, what, going along with 12% of the MAGAs that want the 1849 law, exactly mirrored. That's his faith, because it comes from his faith, you know.
That question would have been a softball 5 years ago. You know, just the words rape and incest alone, it's enough. Like, yes, I support this, you know, tragedy.
Rape,
you know,
and incest. Totally, I mean, oof. Terrible things to happen, but, you know, we're going to force the state, the government, under my governance, under my administration, I, Tim Michaels, will force women who have been victims of rape and incest with the full authority and prosecution of the state will force women and girls to have those babies. That doesn't seem very, you know, free to me. To me, that seems like the heavy hand of the state coming down and busting heads again on a law that was put into place prior to the right of women to vote in this country. So that is just, I guess, a brief preview of where Wisconsin politics are right now. And I got to tell you, given the angst caused by this, and we've seen all the reports and see how the Republicans react and the MAGA react to, oh, a 12-year-old girl was raped and had to go over, you know, cross state lines to get an abortion. Oh, it's false. It's fake. Oh, no, it's true. Oh, my bad. My bad. I guess it was just my bad. No apologies. No, nothing along those lines. They are getting more and more to the right. They're getting more and more fascistic. They are getting more and more authoritarian. And I have a real, really tough time believing that with 88% of the people of Wisconsin citizens wanting some sort of exception for rape or incest, that he's going to get very much traction on that topic, which is a driving important topic, seeing that Roe v. Wade was just overturned this year. So people will have a very specific opportunity to let their voices be known on this topic. It's Friday. We air the grievances. My grievance, where's Crudy? 844-967-2789. You can join us on the lines.
We've got our best men. Our best men are on it.
We're on it. Also, James Santel going to join us. That should be most entertaining. Lots of national news headlines to get to. So let me just touch on a couple that I noted that I know we're going to get into some detail. One that's very important, kind of a throwback. You know, it's Friday. Throwback Friday. Let's bring up the grievances. The Washington Post reporting that the court has ordered the release of a DOJ memo on Trump obstruction in the Mueller probe. Remember the good old days of the Mueller probe when all we had to worry about was, you know, a little Russian, you know, interference, a little Russian collusion, a little Russian conspiracy, because now we do know after all this time, and after Paul Manafort being pardoned by Trump, he did, in fact, give polling data to a Russian spy. So, yes, there was that. But there was also so much more. Let's get into this piece briefly. A federal appeals court has ordered the release of a secret Justice Department memo discussing whether President Donald Trump obstructed the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. The unanimous panel decision on Friday echoes that of a lower court judge, Amy Berman Jackson, who last year accused the Justice Department of dishonesty in its justifications for keeping the memo hidden. The panel of three judges, led by Chief Judge Sri Srinivasan, said that whether or not there was bad faith, the government created a misimpression that could not stop the release under the Freedom of Information Act. Uh-oh. The memo was written by two senior Justice Department officials for then-Attorney General Barr, who subsequently told Congress that there was not enough evidence to charge Trump with obstruction of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's inquiry. A redacted version was released last year, but left under seal the legal and factual analysis. Department officials argued that the document was protected because it involved internal deliberations over a prosecutorial decision. But the judges agreed with Jackson that both Mueller and Barr had clearly already concluded that a sitting president could not be charged with a crime. The discussion over how Barr would publicly characterize the obstruction evidence Mueller had assembled, the DOJ conceded on appeal. The court's review of the memorandum revealed that the department was never considered bringing a charge. Instead, the memorandum concerned a separate decision that had gone entirely unmentioned by the government in its submissions to the court. What, if anything, to say to Congress and the public about the Mueller report? The court said that if the Department of Justice had accurately described to Jackson the motivation behind the memo, the document might be considered protected. Federal courts generally give deference to the government in such cases. Another quote, "We have held that an agency's deliberations about how to communicate its policies are privileged, just like its deliberations about the content of those policies," the court wrote. But they said the government forfeited that argument by insisting the memo was about the charging decision and resisting a review that showed otherwise. Any notion that the memorandum concerned whether to say something to the public went entirely unargued, even unmentioned, until the appeal, the court said. "We cannot sustain the withholding of the memorandum on a rationale that the department never presented to the district court." Uh-oh. Attorney General Barr cited this memo as a reason not to charge President Trump with the obstruction of justice. Cruz spokesman Jordan Leibowitz said in a statement, "The American people deserve to know what it says. Now they will." That's some good news. Happy Friday. We get to see the unredacted memo. We'll see what kind of BS they've been shoveling to us under the Attorney General, former Attorney General Bill Barr's administration. And now all the Republicans, "Oh, this is chaos. It's Gestapo." Yeah, under this guy. But Barr, that was totally right. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Air your grievances with us. 844-967-2789.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all, airing of the grievances at 844-967-2789.
I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of feedback, I should say. Dom, glad to join you on the airwaves, even if it's tremendously echoey.
Well, it's good to have you, Crudy. As mentioned, we're going to have our good friend, James Santel, joining us in the 5 o'clock hour.
And I was going to get here fast enough.
So, all right, we still have some issues there, Crudy. We're going to keep on rolling. You can jump in as you see fit. Once again, folks, 844-967-2789. Alan Weisselberg, as we talked about yesterday, pled guilty to 15 felony charges as CFO of the Trump Organization. 15! 15!
Well, if you're guilty for one, Might as well be guilty for 15.
I mean, may as well take them all. But this is over the course of many years. Now, he was looking at 15 years in jail. He's like a 75-year-old man. You know, he's not a young man. He's not going to be able to take that kind of action. And we're talking about Rikers, too, man. I mean, he's not going to be in general population. But it just sounds like a bad movie. Old, you know, crooked CPA from, you know, rich real estate company, corrupted real estate company, you know, gets sent to the pokey for, you know, not declaring $1.5 million or more in income. Now, these kinds of perks, benefits, you know, call them what you want, they in and of themselves are not illegal. If Crudy so decided to, you know, pay for my apartment or give me a car. You know, I mean, all those things can be done. But, you know, both sides, the employer and the employee, depending on the perk and the benefit, whether or not you can write it off or not. If you can't write it off, you got to claim it as income. So these are very, very simple kinds of fraud cases. Now, I know Crudy is not a fan of Alvin Bragg, but I just have to wonder, and I'm really looking forward to getting Santel's opinion on this, on how the Manhattan DA seemingly, at least at this point, is letting Tish James kind of take the lead. Now, this case against Weitzelberg is an Alvin Bragg case. This is a criminal case, and this is under his purview. So there is now, you know, this admission by the Trump CFO of this fraud. Now, how does that parlay into future criminal investigations? I'm not clear. Now, according to the reporting, Alan Weitzelberg must now, as part of his plea deal to serve approximately 100 days, must now testify against the Trump Organization truthfully in the case brought by Tish James, the civil case. So, and the judge warned him very, very sternly that if he is not truthful, he will, you know, throw his ass back in jail. So there is certainly motivation for Weisselberg to speak the truth and to be honest in that investigation. Now, there's some interesting tidbits overnight that I've read. I'm not clear. We quoted Andrew Weissman yesterday. He's a NYU law professor, 20 years at the DOJ. He tweeted out last night, whoa, Weisselberg plea transcript, he quotes at page 2728, shows that Weisselberg previously was immunized, presumably by the Southern District of New York. The court references that in connection with giving up his right to challenge the state indictment based on any use of his immunized testimony. And he goes on to say, for instance, if he told the feds he did not commit tax fraud, and today he said under the oath that he did when he pled guilty, the feds could use this admission today to charge him with perjury. So, I mean, there's lots of like little moving parts on this. Now, think about that for a second. If that is the case, And Weisselberg, under a previous immunization deal with Southern District of New York, was lying to them in that testimony after getting that benefit. They could go back and then what? Charge him with obstruction, with other crimes, perhaps. And what does that do? How does that play out for the future criminal prosecution of Donald Trump? Now, we're interested in
diplomatic immunity.
We're interested in seeing criminal charges, should there be evidence of that, coming down against Trump personally.
I can't believe you're still talking about Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg did nothing.
Bragg just secured the conviction of the Trump Organization CFO, who was looking at 15 years.
Where's the covering statement? Where's the greater covering statement? If you've got this guy locked down to go testify against his former boss, Donald Trump, where's the covering statement?
I'm not clear what you mean by that.
Here's what I mean by that. Go look at the Weisselman prosecution. For 5 months, he's getting like 100 days? Not even 5 months. This guy is getting the deal of a lifetime, and you can't make him tell the truth. You know what I'm saying, Dom? You can't make the guy, I mean, what's perjury? You've already let the guy off on 15 felonies. And there is what is called a covering statement when you start giving these sort of deals. You say, here are all the things covered by this deal. Here is the thing that you cannot be prosecuted for in the future under this shiny new deal. There is no covering statement for Weisselberg. So Alvin Bragg, as far as I'm concerned, has left a lot of loose ends. And sure, you can say he's gone after the Trump org, and he's secured convictions against Weisselberg.
Yes.
But I'll believe it when the big man's going down. And he walked away from that prosecution. Go ask his former prosecutors, Pomerantz and others, that walked away from Alvin Bragg's office for his failure to indict the big man. Mention
some
Alvin
people
Bragg's name on a Friday show or any other.
Come on, man. The man just he just secured the conviction of the chief financial officer of the Trump organization, looking at 15 years, gonna cut a deal. Whatever the case may be, if Weisselberg lied in other testimony, that is also a risk. He was warned by the judge, you better be truthful, or you're gonna do the full 15. He's absolutely going to testify against Trump in the Trump organization trial. 844-967-2789. Ryan, tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Dominic, I'm on the road again. Currently in Wisconsin Rapids, making a short foray to Nakusa. Here for a Nakusa Papermakers football game a little bit later on this evening, Dom. I'm doing the play-by-play. Did I mention that?
I think we've discussed it once or twice.
Should we talk a little more high school sports?
No, I think we're good. We got some people on the lines. They might want to talk about some high school sports.
I did go to a high school football game last night. I could tell you about it. But okay, we'll be here for the audience. 844-967-2789. Air your grievances here.
Let's start with Robert from West Allis, Wisconsin. Welcome, Robert. What do you got for us?
Hey, Robert.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, man.
This week, it's really a toss-up. You know, I don't know if I'm more upset that, you know, this carpetbagger, Michaels, who lives in Connecticut, you know, who's made a fortune building a road to nowhere, or if it's, you know, his crazy position, you know, this 1849 law. I think it's really funny that, you know, they think a 16-year-old got raped can't make choices about, you know, what to do in that situation with their family, with their doctor. But they want to give that person all the responsibility of raising a child and educating a child. And it's just a really hard around these folks. They're really, you know, they're an anti-freedom cult. You know, the one they're going to go after next is Griswold. They don't want, in the context of a marriage, for, you know, a married couple to use contraception or birth control. And, you know, you look at one issue after the other, and the Republicans are extreme. They're extreme on not letting people vote with democracy. They're extreme in their support for violence against the FBI, the Justice Department, people at the IRS. And I just really hope the voters realize what they're getting if they vote for these guys.
Yeah, great point, Robert. Appreciate the call.
You know, carpetbagger is really the least of my criticisms against Tim Michaels. Really, it truly is. The policy positions, the embrace of abortion bans with no exception for rape or incest, he's all the way back in 1849. And that puts him, Michaels, the gubernatorial GOP candidate, with 12% of Wisconsinites. They're governing from the ultra minority. And, you know, right now he's trailing Tony by 2 points. But I heard earlier he doesn't believe the polls, Tom. He believes that the sort of people that vote for him, they don't believe in the pollsters, so they lied to the pollsters. So he thinks, Tim Michaels reportedly thinks, he's up about 5 to 10.
5 to 10. I mean, why not 20 or 30? Or why stop at 5 to 10?
Well, that's gut feeling. That's his gut. His gut tells him.
And I think
he's up. And you know what? I don't know. Now, 10 seems like an extreme. But I don't know that he's that far off. And I tell you what, Dom, I was saying it all during the primary contest. The fact that he has carpet bombed the state of Wisconsin with radio ads and television ads, but where they haven't matched him, is on the radio all across the state. I'm in Wisconsin Rapids right now. Guess what? You tune into the competition up and down the dial, hear lots of Tim Michaels radio ads. I'm not hearing the same from Tony Evers, nor have I. The $12 million that Evers spent, none of it went on the radio, near as I can tell.
844-967-2789. I think you could make a good point regarding the carpetbagging accusation. If he was carpetbagging into the state of Wisconsin offering, you know, some idea, Medicare for all and legal weed, you know what I'm saying? If his policies were something that I was, encouraged about, I'm fine with that. I mean, does it really even matter anymore?
Wintered in Connecticut.
No. But being that the 1849 law exactly mirrors his position, is what he stated. And that is just a terrible, frightening, plainly said. He this is how it is. This is where he stands. Rape or incest, state forced birthing. That's where he's at.
Dominic, if you'll recall, in the year 2015, Scott Walker governed from the presidential campaign trail, right? One phone call, 15 minutes a day. Republicans really don't think there's much to this whole governance process. Mostly self-aggrandizement.
Well, and per diem and getting paid. 844.
I don't think Michaels is worried about the per diem at this hour.
Guys like Michaels are always worried about getting paid. 844-967-2789. Tutter Billy from the north side, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom and Crew, good to talk to you. I think you usually don't take calls when Jim Santel's on, so I'm hoping maybe you'll bring this up to him, too.
All right, man, what do you got?
The Dobbs decision overturning Roe versus Wade is terrible in every way, but my grievance or my concern is about the framing I've often heard of, hey, this is so terrible because it's the only time that the court has ever taken away a constitutional right. And I think about, well, if we get what we should and what we want in terms of curbing Second Amendment claims, won't folks claim the exact same thing and won't they be right?
I think we've already accepted regulation on that side, right? Even the hardcore, many of the gun owners that I know are not advocating for, Tommy guns, automatic Tommy guns to come back. That was a time that we had those. They're not very accurate. They spray a lot of bullets and they're very deadly to bystanders. So we made those things illegal, right? Howitzer, artillery systems, right? Tanks. You can go down the list of all sorts of weaponry that we cannot get under the Second Amendment as it currently stands. So what we're talking about really, Todd or Billy, is matters of degree. We've already accepted the fact that you can have regulation on the Second Amendment. You can have regulation on free speech. Can't yell fire in the theater. There's always exception. There's always a matter of degree on this, Todd. That's my position.
Todd, Billy, we've already established the fact that Dom's a whore. Now we're just negotiating price.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, and I agree with that totally. I'm just saying I don't know that that's the right framing to say, hey, it's terrible because they took away a right. I don't think that's why it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And that one just doesn't work for me. That's all.
No, I appreciate it, Todd Billy. Thanks for the call, man. And sometimes how things are said, it does matter. It does impact the conversation.
Words matter, you say, Devin?
On the radio, they do. Can't really see my facial expression. 844.
You can see mine.
967.
Right through the radio dial.
2789. Andrew from Motown. Welcome, Andrew. What do you got for us?
Hey, Andrew.
Over here in Motown, we have no decent progressive radio. Maybe you guys think about putting some progressive radio over here.
Yeah.
Actually, my point today is, on top of that, they want to do everything by the Constitution. Well, the filibuster is not in the Constitution.
Right.
Why doesn't Chuckie Schumer just say, the filibuster isn't in the Constitution, and it's very discriminatory, so you know what? It's just gone. We don't vote on it. We don't do no. It's gone.
Because you can't get rid of it without bringing Sinema and Joe Manchin in line. And what I'm mostly encouraged about right now, and even Mitch McConnell, the minority leader who I suspect will remain the minority leader, he's seeing the tea leaves. In the state of Wisconsin, we've got polling out from Marquette University. Mandela Barnes is beating incumbent Ron Johnson. In the state of Pennsylvania, Fetterman is beating Oz. In the state of Ohio, Tim Ryan is beating J.D. Vance. It's happening in Arizona. Kelly's starting to come on strong out there. Most of the polling, Warnock's crushing Herschel Walker. We're going to have, theoretically, a 3 or 4 senatorial pickup, and that will change the math, and you can start getting some stuff done. Now, the flip side of that is if you lose the House, they'll be impeaching Joe Biden.
But Chucky needs to just do a Mitch McConnell and say, I'm not doing rules. We're not going to have a vote on this. I'm just getting rid of it. If you don't like it, take me to court.
I like the way you think, Andrew, but I think you're right.
Might makes right, baby. Might makes right.
You know, and there is some tendency. I mean, I have them too. You see how the other side does things, and you see them get away with this for, you know, and then you're like, oh man, maybe we should just do that. And I get that. And I don't know, man. Karma's a bitch, and you know, a lot of these things have a long life cycle. So a lot of tales on some of these issues. So I prefer to try to be righteous about it. Let's just jam in some more Democrats on the Senate side, and we can just get rid of the filibuster once and for all.
Dominic, I've got some new polling, Foxy News polling, and I hope our conservative friends would find this credible. Fox News poll, Barnes edges Johnson in Wisconsin Senate race. Here's a little bit. While Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes is narrowly preferred over incumbent Ron Johnson, according to Foxy News, it's not that narrow, the Wisconsin Senate race, Johnson supporters, where did they go? Johnson supporters have the enthusiasm. Well, that's also in question. A Fox News survey of Wisconsin voters finds Barnes ahead of Johnson 50-46, an advantage within the survey's margin of error. At the same time, more of Johnson's backers, 66%, than those supporting Barnes do so enthusiastically, Dom, as 3 times as many of those favoring Barnes say their support is about disliking Rojo. So a little bit more here. Again, for Barnes supporters, 57% enthusiastic. Rojo supporters, 66%. 15% have reservations. 27% dislike others. That means Rojo. The race is tight amongst voters who say they are extremely motivated to vote in November, 49% apiece, and Barnes is up by 2 points among those who feel certain they will vote. I feel certain I will vote for Mandela Barnes. Overall, Barnes is helped by strong backing among, here they are, Dom, moderates. Mandela's up plus 37. Oof. Suburban women. Are you listening, Rojo? Mandela's up plus 30. Voters, and this is a big surprise to me, voters ages 65 and over, Mandela Barnes over Johnson, plus 23, and voters with a college degree, plus 16. He also enjoys greater party loyalty. 96% of Democrats now back Mandela Barnes, 91% of Republicans for Johnson. Now, we talked about the fact Johnson did not perform that well in his own primary, right? The Schroeder guy, the unknown, no cash, no history.
just an alternative to Rojo.
And Rojo bled about 16% of his support in the Republican primary. The small subgroup of independents favor Barnes, 2-1, baby. 2-1. Johnson. Now, who would like Ron Johnson? Let me tell you, Dom. Rojo's best groups include white evangelical Christians.
Yeah, plus 31. Nice.
Up 31 with the white evangelical Christians. Men without a college degree, plus 17. Men, just men, period, plus 10. Rural voters, plus 8. And this is the shocker, though. Currently, Rojo has more support with voters under 45 than Mandela Barnes does. He's up 6. That's a shocker to me. Johnson won his re-election last time around by about 3.4 percentage points. Geographically, Barnes is cutting to Johnson's support next urban in rural parts of the state. says Republican pollster Darren Shaw, who jointly conducts the Fox News surveys with Democrat Chris Anderson. Johnson has to regain these voters and cut his losses with suburban women if he wants to retain his seat. I would say good luck with that. Come back with us. Always always good luck, good times, good radio, great radio. When you listen to the Devils Advocates radio show, I'm on the road. Dom's in the Shaw. Evan's in the world headquarters in Madison. You could be on the phones next. 844-967-2789. I'm looking at the sign. I'm in WFHR land, Dom. I'm up here locally grown radio in the studios. Got the fan on. I'm feeling the heat. Soon, you're going to be feeling the heat at the Yakuza football game. I'll be doing play-by-play later. Did I mention that, Dom? It's Friday night football kickoff. Come back. More Devils Advocates will take you all the way up to kickoff.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Call us and air your grievances, 844-967-2789. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, is in the house. He'll be jumping on after the top of the hour.
Could be now. Could be down.
Ah, we got callers. Let's get to our callers. Oh, man, we lost CJ. 844-967-2789.
I'd hate to miss CJ before the weekend and sneaking out.
Dick from Madison, you're up. Happy days, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick. Well, have you ever noticed how the Republican Party wants it both ways? Here's a perfect example in my mind. You know, they got all whipped up into shape about Mueller. Then Barr got a hold of the Mueller report and rejected half of it, if not three quarters of it, so you couldn't see it. But the other thing is, when Comey jumped in the election 10 days before the election in 16, that was okay. But now I'm going to make you a bet that if Merrick Garland was to indict Trump anytime before the midterms, they would be screaming foul and going, oh, he's stepping on the scale and he's trying to change, you know, how the election
the
goes.
The timing won't matter because Trump's been running for president for since like 15, man. Yeah, he's going to claim correct. I'm a candidate, but, and it's a political persecution.
Right. And then the last thing, what I'm a little scared of, even though all these numbers are great for Republican in the Senate, those are statewide races. It still bothers me in the House. And here's the other thing that bothers me immensely. Between the voter purges that they've already done, the Republicans, and the voter suppression, and what they'll do on Election Day, and this stuff in Texas, we find out several people that work the polls have just said, we're not down with this. We don't need this because we don't have our lives threatened. They still, through literally extortion and just out and out, I don't know, violence towards voters this fall could pull this off. It's just the only way they win, in my mind, is in the totally gerrymandered districts in the House. And then if the Senate, I see at least two pickups in less. Unless something crazy happens with what I'm talking about, voter purges. Look at Georgia. Look at Texas. It's scary.
Now, don't forget Arizona. It is scary. You have a bunch of, you know, QAnon cultist election deniers that are, you know, getting themselves into positions of power by being elected by other QAnon crazy-ass election deniers. I mean, I guess if you're going to represent QAnon crazy-ass election deniers, you're gonna do fairly well in some states. But I'm with you, Dick. It is concerning. It's going to be close. And you know, what is the October surprise? Right, we're a long ways away from all of this.
The Trump org trial, perhaps.
Maybe. Good points. Thanks for the call. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Happy Friday, man. What do you got?
Yeah, it's interesting that, and thanks for taking my call. It's interesting now that, yes, we were indeed probably right that, you know, Trump was, you know, accepting assistance from Mother Russia, and as Manafort more or less, you know, has copped to now that, that there was coordination going on between Trump and Russia, and it wasn't to get them to switch the voting machines. It was just to, you know, the Russians could impact the electorate and discourage people from voting and all that. So, I mean, it just CJ will be a big denier and said, oh, the Mueller report was nothing. Well, now it's going to turn out that, yes, the Mueller report was indeed something. And
well, and now we're going to find out, Mark, what the memo was, what the internal deliberations were for, between the top of Barr and his lieutenants at the Department of Justice as to why they did not charge Trump with obstruction. They could have done it 6, 7, 8, 10 times, Mark.
Yeah,
fear of political violence springing out.
Well, that's the other thing that the political violence happens. They need to come down on that with both feet. I mean, any threats, you know, physical threats, these threats to election officials should be handled with swiftly and as harshly as possible, because these people, if you're making a threat like that, your ass belongs in jail. Your rights to vote, because you're attempting to overturn the rights of other people to vote. I mean, that maybe you should lose your right to vote if you're doing that kind of thing.
Well, hell, I'm only looking for 11,780 votes, which is one more than we need. Thanks for the call, Mark. 844-967-2789. You know, and when you talk about the calls to violence and the harassment of election officials, that really gets me. My mother-in-law for years, you know, would and many older folks donate their time and energy and volunteer at these, you know, your local wards, man. I mean, I think mine maybe, you know, 1,000, 1,500.
Why not you?
They have a lot more time on their hands. I'm a really busy.
Sort.
I'm a really busy guy. Yeah, when the court orders it, I'm happy to. But these are people that are just in their community trying to, you know, do their part, stay busy, and contribute to society by engaging in and helping with elections. And you know, some are Republicans, some are Democrats, some are independents, some don't care. They're doing it. And of course you have observers there as well. I mean, there's no huge conspiracy here. You know, there's nothing there. If you lose, you can do a recount. If you think there's something nefarious, you can go to court like Trump did and lost 62 out of 63 times. So this is so unsettling, because not only is there no proof or evidence that anything terrible happened in this election, it's just the continuation and repeat of a lie that Donald Trump came up with because he knew he was probably going to have some headwinds, right? Let's just put it that way. I mean, he managed the COVID-19 pandemic in the absolute worst possible way you could possibly manage it, if you even call it managing it, right? Don't forget what he said to Woodward. He admitted to him how big of a deal it was, but to us, he didn't say that, right? So he knew he had problems. He knew that if he lost the shield of this Office of Legal Counsel, which erroneously, in my opinion, states that a sitting president cannot be prosecuted, well, he loses that shield, and look what happened. Man, they're going after him. Not because of political persecution, not because of he signed some tax cuts for the wealthy, but because he's a crooked bastard. And sooner or later, that stuff catches up with you. And if I wasn't doing anything like that, or Crudy's doing that, or Evan's that, hell, even our fair audience, if you're involved in some gangster stuff, then you better expect that the man's going to come down on you for that.
You mean anymore. We don't do that anymore.
I'm retired.
I want to make that clarification.
Thank you.
Dom, I have been making a promise to you and the audience, and even our buddy James Santel, who joins us very shortly. I am not reading the Mueller reports until we get the unredacted version. I feel like we're very, very close. The Crudy having a big weekend reading assignment. Come back with us, rolling through the 5 o'clock happy hour, next with James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours.
I've fallen, and I can get up.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.
Yes.